Good morning, Mike Broomhead.
Good morning, Jamie. A little bit of a busy news day, I would say.
Yeah, you know, late at night, well, it's late for us, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the evening, our morning show team is still communicating with each other on Teams to talk about the next morning show.
Yeah.
And my question was, with a funny meme, I wonder what we're going to be leading with tomorrow morning.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about all day?
I have no idea.
Thanks, Jamie.
It gives you plenty to talk about, too, for the next few hours.
I hope you get some rest between...
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, between now and Friday. thanks for being here, everyone. Yeah, we've got to start with the fake electors. That's the story. Yesterday, it's rare that you have these big stories that drop on the same day. It just worked out that way. I thought today was going to be consumed completely with the fact that the Arizona State Legislature, House of Representatives, I want to be clear, it was just the House, but it's going to the Senate. They had three Republicans that decided to vote with the Democrats to repeal an 1864 law and now goes to the Senate. What will happen next? So coming up at 8:35, one of the Republicans that voted to repeal, his name is Tim Dunn. We're going to from Yuma. We're going to talk with Representative Dunn about that decision and what he wants to see happen next. At 9:05 on that very topic, we're going to have the Speaker of the House, who said in a statement he's very disappointed in how things played out. But we'll talk to the Speaker of the House, Ben Thoma. He will join us as well this morning at 9:05 on that all important topic of the reversal or the repealing of an 1864 abortion law. What goes into effect next? What's going to happen? And eventually, everybody needs a decision. We're talking about people that are seeking out that kind of medical care, and also for the doctors and the others that are giving that kind of care. What are going to be the legal ramifications and the legal limits? We'll get to that this morning. Then we heard about the indictment from the Attorney General's office. A grand jury has indicted 11 electors and seven other people, a total of 18 people indicted. Now, the seven other people, their names have been redacted until they have been officially served with the indictments. I have gotten a statement from Senator Jake Hoffman. I'm going to read that in a moment. He is one of the people indicted. And also, we are going to have his attorney on. Harmeet Dhillon will join us at 10:35. At 10:20. I'm sorry, 10:20 to discuss this topic. Are these justified charges? What happened here? I'm anxious to see how this plays out. The Attorney General, Chris Mays, and to be fair, so you know, I've reached out to the Attorney General, reached out to her yesterday evening, reached out to her this morning, have not heard back. That's not a criticism at all. It's just I wanted you to know that I've been fair, and I'm trying to reach out to everybody I can to weigh in on this topic, because I think this is another very major topic with us. So I'm going to start with a little bit of some of the people that are involved. Senator Jake Hoffman made a statement. I want to read this. This is through his attorneys. Before an investigation had ever been conducted with no evidence, Chris Mays declared that she believed electors such as myself were guilty of a crime, that it was her job to get Biden reelected, that she would control the timing of the indictment. This is part of the quote from the senator. Now, unsurprisingly, we see that she has weaponized the once respected attorney general's office to deliver an indictment of her Republican political opponents years after the event at issue, long after the Democrat prosecutors made their decisions, and right before Arizona's primary elections. Let me be unequivocal. I am innocent of any crime. I will vigorously defend myself, and I look forward to the day when I am vindicated of this naked political persecution by the judicial process. So, they attached with this is a tweet that goes back a couple of years where the attorney general tweeted out another glaring example of Brnovich, who was at the time the attorney general in Arizona, abdicating his duties. I would have immediately investigated the fake electors as attorney general. There is no mystery about what happened here. The fake electors videotaped their crimes for all to see. Arizona needs a lawyer for the people. So that was before the investigation. So it opens the door. Is this overtly political? Is it necessary? So I'm going to give you a couple of options or a couple of sides to this. We know that when it came to Arizona's abortion law, the attorney general on this show said, we are not going to waste our time prosecuting people. I've got better things to do than to prosecute people for giving abortions. If this law goes into effect, it was all hypothetical. Nobody in my office is going to investigate or prosecute this because we have better things to do. I want you to hear what she said. This was on April 11th on this show.
I don't think that my resources and my lawyers in the Arizona Attorney General's office should be spending their time prosecuting doctors, nurses, and pharmacists for helping a woman access reproductive care and abortion.
So I asked her about being, I asked her, does she think she's violating her oath of office by not prosecuting some of these cases?
I'm not going to go out and prosecute adultery. We also have a bigamy law on the books, and we're not prosecuting bigamy. And we've got big issues to deal with in the state of Arizona. I'm trying to fight the Mexican drug cartels and who are bringing fentanyl across our border at record and alarming rates. I'm trying to prosecute elder abuse in a state with a growing elderly community. I'm trying to protect our water supplies and prevent the Saudis from taking all the water out of La Paz County.
So again, I agreed with her then about all of those things that she has got very important things to do. So apparently this rises to the level of being as important as those things are important enough, more important than prosecuting abortion. And this goes, and I will tell you, I want to be very clear. I have nothing but the utmost respect for the Attorney General. I've known her for a very long time casually. I don't know her very well, but I've known her for a long time. I'm not indicting her character. I'm laying the case out for you from the other side of this that says this was how long ago did this happen? And it was set aside by someone else. It didn't have any effect because the election was certified. Joe Biden won the election. He got the electors in Arizona. Did this rise to a level that we needed criminal charges? And is there any credibility to the accusation from at least Senator Hoffman that says, isn't it coincidental that, 6 months or 7 months before this, but certainly just a few months before an Arizona primary, now all of a sudden we're going to get legal charges. I will tell you, I don't know that any of these cases are going to get to court. So this is going to be a court case and criminal charges hanging over the heads of people that are trying to get reelected to offices or get elected to offices. So that's one side of the argument. The other side of this argument is Mark Brnovich should have done his job. And if Mark Brnovich wasn't doing this for political reasons, because that's the other accusation, is that here was a staunch Republican at the time trying to win an election. At the same time, that attorney general, instead of doing his job and doing an investigation and leveling charges against people that had committed crimes, he abdicated his duties because he didn't want to make his base angry. And therefore, I had to do it. I'm speaking now on behalf of the attorney general. I had to do it because he didn't. So that's why it took longer. And it's coincidental that those charges came to fruition during an election year, just a couple of months before a primary. So in the end, did they commit a crime? Is the crime, does it rise to the level of needing the resources that are going to be necessary to charge these crimes? And this is what people are going to have to wrestle with. And I will tell you, I have been talking since 2020 that we need to put 2020 behind us, that Republicans needed to drop it. You can make your complaint. You can say you believe it was a rigged game. But at some point, you got to look forward to next season. If you're a team that gets screwed out of the playoffs because of a horrible call by a referee, like we saw happen, we saw a team lose their chance on a blown call by a referee to go to the Super Bowl. And there was no doubt that call affected the outcome of the game, which would have sent a different team to the Super Bowl. No doubt. You can complain about that for the next three seasons, or you can complain about it. You can say it was a horrible thing that happened. Hope the situation gets rectified next time around and move on. So here we are, 11 people total, fake electors, Tyler Bauer, Nancy Cottle, who I know Nancy Cottle. She's been around Arizona politics for as long as I have. The Senator Jake Hoffman is another one. Anthony Kern, who is running for Congress. Jim Lehman, who ran for the United States Senate. Robert Montgomery, Samuel Moorhead, Lorraine Pellegrino. I will just tell you just a sidebar on a little bit of this, just so you understand the human side of some of this. Lorraine Pellegrino is one of the nicest people I've ever known, and she's always been a volunteer for things that you may not agree with in the Republican Party. The Arizona Federation of Republican Women, the National Republican Women, and is just I think she's a great human being. And being indicted on these charges, I haven't talked with her about this, but I just think that a lot of this stuff is going to be it's just going to put a lot of pressure on people. I don't know that any of them are going to be able to stand up to the pressure. They're going to get them to flip to testify against other people. This is going to be a big discussion all morning long, all morning long. Coming up in a moment, we're going to shift gears. We are going to speak with Timothy Dunn, who is a Republican representative from District 13, who voted with the Democrats, one of three, to repeal the 1864 abortion law. We'll ask him why he decided to vote yes and what he thinks will happen next. It's going to happen in just a few moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, yesterday in a House session, the House of Representatives, including three Republicans siding with Democrats, voted to repeal an 1864 law that bans most abortions except for the life of the mother. And three of those Republicans, Representative Wilmoth, Representative Gress, and Representative Timothy Dunn, were the three Republicans that voted yes to repeal. Joining us now is Representative Dunn to talk about that. Thanks for doing this morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about this vote. What led to your decision to vote with the Democrats to repeal this law?
Mike, you know, this is one of the toughest decisions I've had to make. But when you look at what is coming down on the ballot, driving the liberal extreme ballot measure to have full-term abortions up until the birth with the doctor's note, we know that they're going to drive people to put that on the constitutional amendment on the ballot with, if we leave the only option of having zero abortions except for the health of the mother, it'll be zero or full-term abortions in our constitution. And we have to, you know, we can't do that. We've got to be able to defeat that ballot measure. And in my heart of hearts, the only way to do that was to eliminate the 1864, which was reauthorized in the 70s by a Democrat governor. Don't forget that. But we had to eliminate that. So we go back to 15 weeks and now we have a better chance of stopping that and defeating that ballot measure so we can save more babies' lives long term. The whole thing was about saving babies' lives.
So do you think the reverting back to this 15 weeks is going to be sufficient, or do you think there will be a Republican ballot initiative that spells things out differently that will also be on the ballot for voters to vote for, in addition to the one that's getting signatures from the group that wants to put it in the Constitution?
Our caucus is actively discussing that. We, now that the 1864 law is moving, the pre-Roe law, we have it's a clearer path for our caucus to come up with ideas, and it's definitely on the table. We're going to work that together with the Senate and see what we want to do. What's the best chance of putting something on the ballot? And so, yeah, we're active conversations about that. And but the main thing is we need to defeat that ballot measure, because it is terrible to have full-term abortions.
Representative Timothy Dunn is joining us. He represents District 13 in the Arizona House. Did you have discussions with, and was there a lot of pushback from the pro-life people that were saying you need to stand your ground on this and leave this law in place? And if that happened, how did you respond to them?
It switched on now. Legislative District 25 of the West Valley.
And, oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Yes, I just to make sure people understand. But yes, this has been an all-consuming since the court case came out for me personally, talking to constituents, talking to pastors, and talking to pro-life folks. I've sat down with the Right to Life folks, and we do disagree. We're all on the same team. We want to save babies. We want to defeat that ballot measure and try to save as many babies as we can. So I have a disagreement with some folks on what the best way to do that is, and that's the struggle for the vote yesterday. But yes, I know people would thought we could just not do that, and we could just bring out the vote to defeat the ballot measure. I chose otherwise, and I think at the end of the day, we need to drive people and go to it goes too far campaign. There's a on the website. We need to come together now and to defeat this, because with Republicans, independents, Democrats, it goes too far. But I have had nothing but conversations, all consuming, since that court case came out.
So have you had conversations with the other two Republicans that voted yes in the House ahead of time? Did you know the other two were going to vote yes before you voted yes? And if so, can you let us in on a little of those conversations?
The Matt Gress, Representative Gress, has been very vocal for the 2 weeks that he was going to vote yes, and has been kind of spearheading, challenging leadership and on that standpoint. So we knew that he was going to vote yes. We've been talking to him, Mr. Wilmoth. I know that he was planning on. He'd said that publicly to me. But I really didn't have any. We didn't know where he's going to be at on the day of yesterday's vote. We just knew Mr. Gress was going to vote, and yesterday morning I decided yes for sure I was going to vote because I think we're going to save more babies.
When you look at this from an election standpoint, is there a concern about being elected to office? Is there a concern about the safety of your seat from your constituents, from your supporters in pushback? Or do you think they're going to understand the reasons why you did this?
You know, we're going to always have people that disagree with any of the votes we have taken. So there will be definitely people, but I've had people reaching out from my district that have a series of text messages thanking me for the vote. And so we're a very conservative district, and I don't have a primary and I don't have a general right now, but that's not why I voted for it. I voted for it in my heart of hearts that it was the right thing to do. But yeah, we'll be answering questions, and I'm sure we'll have some folks that are definitely disagree with me and they've reached out as well. So, and that's okay. I mean, we're a republic, and we can have the disagreements on our different votes and our different ideas. But, I listen to people and they know that I'm trying to do the right thing for the state and for the best I can.
We are going to be speaking with the Speaker Toma in a little while. Did you have any discussion with him? He put out a statement yesterday, very disappointed that this was voted to repeal in the House. Have you talked with the Speaker before or after your vote? And what did he have to say if you did?
We talked to him I didn't talk to him yesterday about it. I talked to him last week about it, and that's when I told the caucus we'd wait and have our caucus have more time to look at this. I know that he was disappointed as we move forward that we wanted more time and really didn't want this to go to get voted on. But he respects my opinion, and I respect his. And he's a great speaker, and a great man, and so we get along very well.
Well, I appreciate the time. I know that this is a difficult time and getting out in front of it. Sometimes it riles people up, but I appreciate the thoughtful way you answer the questions. And I look forward to seeing what happens next on this big issue.
Sounds good. I'll come on anytime. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks. That's Representative Timothy Dunn joining us. He was one of three Republicans that voted yes to repeal the 1864 abortion law. And to sum it up, the position from many is that they are pro-life, but they are saying we see what's coming down the track in November. And if we leave this existing law in the books, what will happen in November is going to alter the Constitution of Arizona. It could never be changed. And it's going to enshrine the right to abortions much later in a pregnancy, enshrined in the Constitution of Arizona. So we need to do something now. It may not be what we want, but we need to do something now that is much better. And so that is the position he has taken. It's going to be an interesting conversation throughout the day on this. And again, the Speaker of the House, Ben Toma, will join us at 9:05. And I will let you hear a little bit of his statement because he is very upset that this was repealed in the way it was. So we'll talk to him about options and what happens next. If the Senate votes to repeal this, what will happen and what will they do in the legislature? Coming up in a moment is our Big Q poll question of the day. So I hope you'll stick around for it.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
All right, normally it's Gatos in the Big Q poll question. He's out this week, so doing it again all week long until, tomorrow included. Julia, our producer, has got the Big Q poll question. What do you got, Julia?
All right, today's Big Q poll question of the day, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers, is how do you feel about the recent indictment of individuals involved in attempting to overturn the 2020 election results in Arizona? Do you support the indictment, viewing it as a step to uphold election integrity? Do you oppose the indictment, questioning its fairness or necessity? Or C, undecided?
Wow. Great, very timely question.
I had some help with this. Shout out to Sue Ellen.
Okay, do you have you seen any results yet?
Let's see.
Double check. I want to see how where people are falling so far.
So currently, 75% of people support the indictment. Okay. 21% oppose, and 4% are undecided.
Okay, that's great, and that's a great question, Julie. As always, good job. All right. So that you can go to KTAR.com. You can weigh in on the poll yourself. You can see how other people have voted throughout the day. We invite you to do that. What we're going to do just after 9 o'clock is we're going to speak with the Arizona Speaker of the House, Ben Thoma. He is going to join us about the three Republicans that joined the Democrats and the repealing of an 1864 law. I've got a statement from him that begins with, "I am deeply disappointed." As I have said before, Democrats apparently believe the abortion should occur with no limits and no regulations. He said we should not have rushed to this decision. And he talks more about how this has been on the books for decades. It was readopted in 1977 with the cooperation of Democrats and Republicans and a Democrat Governor Raul Castro. So we'll get his point of view on what should happen or what should have happened and what should happen next. We're going to do that with the Arizona Speaker of the House coming up in just a few moments.